The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Thank you for the good time.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio. The show is all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Roy Saunderson from the Recognition Management Institute, and my colleague Max Brown is on the road today sharing our message with clients and unable to join us for this truly remarkable show. I'm very excited to have on the show today Harvey McKay, the author of 6 New York Times bestsellers. His first 2 books, Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive and Beware the Naked Man Who Offers You His Shirt, are listed by the Times among the top 15 inspirational business books of all time. Harvey's newest book is the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. Harvey is a nationally syndicated columnist for United Feature Syndicate with weekly articles appearing in 100 newspapers and magazines around the country. Toastmasters International named Harvey one of the top 5 speakers in the world, and he is a member of the National Speakers Association Speakers Hall of Fame. In addition, Harvey is a chairman of McKay Mitchell Envelope Company, a $100 million company he founded at age 26. McKay has 500 employees and manufactures 25 million envelopes a day. Harvey received the prestigious Horatio Alger Award in the Supreme Court chambers. He was inducted into the Minnesota Business Hall of Fame and played a key role in bringing the Super Bowl to Minneapolis in 1992, all of which is why Fortune magazine refers to him as Mr. Make Things Happen. Welcome to the show, Harvey.
Roy, thank you very much. You're very kind. Appreciate those words.
Well, I tell you, you know, on my in my family room, I have a special shadow box that my wife has made for me of the various lapel pins that I've collected over the years that I greatly treasure. And you know, one of them is your shark lapel pin.
Well, thank you. That's very interesting. I like to be a differentiator, like to think outside the box. When I wrote Swim with the Sharks, I didn't know it was going to sell 5 million copies, and 24 years later, still be on the shelves, you know, in about 80 countries around the world. So I don't
you
have
betcha.
5 million. I don't have 5 million shark pins, but everyone that did write me and still writes me gets a shark pin.
That's amazing.
If they write me. So that'll keep you shark proof, and thank you very much for the compliment.
You betcha. So, I mean, Harvey, I mean, you got into the envelope manufacturing business. What is it that motivated you to step out from the corporate desk and into writing and speaking about success, sales, and being a job expert?
Well, first of all, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Still have trouble spelling the word. That's exactly what I wanted to be, an entrepreneur. And so at age 26, I founded my own company, McKay Envelope Company. Started slowly, but then had a meteoric rise. All of a sudden, you know, all kinds of clubs and associations would ask me to speak how I became an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that'd be Kiwanis and Rotary and Chamber of Commerce, Junior Achievement, you know, organizations like that, nonprofits, and then people would come up to me and say, "May I have a copy, you know, of your speech?" Well, I don't have notes. Well, how about, do you have an audio tape? They used the word audio in those days, and the answer was no. And well, do you have a book? The answer was no. So the marketplace kind of pushed me over the cliff to write this book. And my first endeavor, of course, was Swim with the Sharks. I might add, I had a four-week fight, World War III, with my publisher. I was a first-time unknown author, but I just kind of demanded, you've got to put on the last page, all right, money-back guarantee if you don't get this book. Well, 5 million copies later, 18 people asked for their money back. 7 of them were my best friends. So anyway, that's how I got started. Then that, quite frankly, Roy, led to my syndicated column, which I've been writing for the past 19 years, close to 100 newspapers, circulation of 10 million, very proud of that. And then that led at the same time to speeches, about one a week for the last 24, 25 years, 85% U.S., 15% foreign, and to corporations, Fortune 500 companies, and nonprofits, everything, you know, from soup to nuts. So that kind of keeps me a little bit busy. He who rides a tiger can't dismount.
No.
And I can't get off the tiger, but quite frankly, I do love it.
Well, that's wonderful, and you've been a great example to many, and we appreciate having you on the show. As you go back in your life, Harvey, and you look at the work and the jobs you've had, is there any particular job that you would say has taught you the most lessons in life?
Well, it's interesting. When starting at age 15, my father, again, headed the Associated Press in St. Paul for 35 years. So he was a writer and a syndicated columnist. And approximately age 15, I used to sell at a men's retail clothing shop. It was called Howdy from Howard's. Huh. And you know, I was selling ties, I was selling hankies, I was selling pants and shirts and cufflinks, whatever. And it's interesting that when you have a job, that responsibility is pretty important. You're meeting people, you have to be on time, you have to report to someone. You have a boss. You have to, you know, use the cash register. All these different things taught me some discipline, being on time. And I might add, I was a total failure.
Oh.
I learned a lot. I thought I was going to be Ben Hogan or Sam Snead. I'm dating myself. But that's when I grew up, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a professional golfer. And so I would ask for time off all the time at these retail establishments where I was working. You know, kind of had... Well, I think it was true. I think I had chapped lips from kissing the mirror too much when I was 16, 17, and 18. I had won 100 golf trophies, and I Minnesota Standard. So I really thought I was great. Well,
yeah.
So I'd ask for time off. You know, can you imagine? Summer job, asking for time off. And so eventually they let me go, and I learned my lesson, and I got burned. Also delivering newspapers, getting up at 2 in the morning, again, having to pound on doors and collect the money for the newspaper, keeping track, having a boss again, making sure everybody got their paper, all those little things. And that led me to believe and write about in Sharks that little things mean a lot. Not true. Little things mean everything.
Yes, that's so true. And we find that even with the giving of recognition.
Yep.
That it's the little things that count the most.
I call it the pat on the back is back, and you will hear me talk in aphorisms a lot. And the reason why is every column of the past 19 years, I always end it with an aphorism and make up a moral. I call it McKay's moral. And in the book, it's the same thing. I have a McKay's moral in every chapter, the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. So I'm thinking about aphorisms, thinking about morals, all of the time. And why? Well, because my father was one of my mentors. We used to call it the ice box, but we put it on the refrigerator. He would. All these different sayings.
I mean, oh, is that right?
Yeah. And then he'd be shaving. He'd have it on the mirror. He'd go out and drive the car, and it would be right on the dashboard. You know, they were pasted everywhere. So if every 3 minutes I give you McKay's moral, I apologize up front. But I'll
you've given me the scoop on where they came from, though. That's that you were really inspired by your dad.
Yeah, I mean, as I sit here in my office right now, right on my wall, you know, while on the ladder of success, don't step back to admire your work. Optimists are right, so are pessimists. It's up to you to choose which you'll be, and on and on and on. Anyway.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We're learning lots even as we go here. And before we go for a break, I'm curious, right from the beginning of your writing and speaking, you've taught about the importance of the Rolodex as a contact management system, and you always like to add personal information about the individual besides just the contact data. How has this personal information benefited you and your contacts over the years?
Well, you probably asked, I suspect, maybe one, two, first or second, the most important question that's in all of my books, and that is, of course, networking. Spend a lot of time in this particular book, which took me 3.5 years to write. Yeah, my father, again, got a hold of me, age 18, Harvey. Every person you meet the rest of your life goes into a Rolodex file. Say, of course, it's a computer. All right,
yep.
In your iPhone, whatever, iPad. Then here's the key, though. All right, you enter it in the Rolodex file, a little bit of bottom on the back of the card, and now the real key, find a creative underline for your audiences, radio audiences there, whatever. Find a creative way to keep in touch.
Mm.
That's the name of the game. And so that's what I have been doing. I wouldn't have gotten published with the Sharks unless when I asked for the order with my publishers, they said, remember, I'm a first-time unknown author, turning the clock back, late 80s,
yes.
My first book, and to my publishers, I'm a first-time author from the flyover state of Minnesota, and I want to get published. I want to get published. Hundreds of thousands of people just like me, and they only print 3,000 business books a year in those days. Today, last year was 11,000 business books, and guess what? That they weren't going to publish me, but when I pulled out my Rolodex files, 6,500 names I put up right there in the boardroom on top of the table from my briefcases, okay? 6,500 names since my father got a hold of me at age 18, and I started to go through them. Pillsbury, 18,000 employees. General Mills, 23,000 employees. Honeywell, 3M, on and on. We do envelope business with these people. Maybe they'll buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll pass it along. Maybe they'll be a bestseller. And then I went to my overseas contacts, France, Germany, Spain. Oh, here's Paco Galatas, Madrid, Spain, 2,000 employees. Maybe he'll buy the book. Maybe he'll pass it around. Maybe it'll be an international bestseller. That's what the Rolodex did for me.
That's amazing. And
so I've always said, excuse me, Roy, but I've always said that if you want 1 year of happiness, you grow grain. Okay, you want 10 years of happiness, you grow trees. You want 100 years of happiness, you grow people.
Mm. And I think that's a good segue there to leave off so that we can take a quick break, Harvey. But, wow, what a powerful lesson to learn about the importance, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
To kind of use a creative way to keep in touch and not just an ordinary way to keep in touch. I really love that.
Surely.
Well, it's time for us to take a short break. This is Roy Sonneson with our guest today, Harvey McKay, and you're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and my guest today, Harvey McKay, the author of 6 New York Best Time Sellers, including Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. And you know, Harvey, as we were just concluding there, talking about that wonderful way in which you've kept in touch, I'm wondering, what's your perception of social networking today, and is there anything you would advise people who use social networking to actually become better networkers?
Surely. Well, first of all, there's been a seismic shift. Is one of the reasons why I wrote this book, the unbelievable economic tsunami that's taken in shape across not only our country but the world, North America, setting a table out there for the listeners, where we're talking the U.S., 9.1 percentage unemployment, but that's not true. It's 16, 17, 18%.
Yeah.
Unemployment is the real number. And then, of course, in the minorities, we're up to 24, 25%. So that networking is so very important to catch yourself and get that job. See, the book happens to cover all of the different things through a creative way, of course, being a differentiator, all right, to not only get the job out there, but get the raise, but also, even if you've never been a salesperson, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're selling all of the time. I mean, it doesn't matter what profession you're in. You know, doctor, HR person, doesn't matter, mechanic, it could be anything. All of a sudden you're out in the street, you're selling something, you're selling ideas when you go back to work for a corporation, a company, a small business, or become an entrepreneur yourself. Teachers
mm-hmm.
are selling ideas, ministers, rabbis, everybody sells ideas. And so that's very, very important. And then building that network. If I can go back to your specific question, if you'd like to give it to me again, Roy.
Yeah, just about how can those, with social networking,
well, the social
almost
network, sure,
dominating things,
that,
how,
yeah.
how can we
yeah.
be better networkers even using the social media?
Sure, surely. And you see, the social media, again, I spend about 3 chapters, again, in the book. And I mean in a supersonic jet way, where it really moves, where you can take this to your advantage. A specific example, I would say to all the listeners out there, if you really want to come up to speed fast, just go to samrichter.com. He's a close personal friend. I'm mentoring him. I no longer have to mentor him. He's going to be known all over the country. He wrote Take the Cold Out of Cold Calling. But go to his website. Sam Richter, RICHTER.com, and he's going to teach you about the invisible web. So, example, Roy, I'm calling on you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sell you. I want a job. I want to, doesn't matter what. Okay, before I even walk in, if I go to the invisible web and I can find out, yes, Google searches are nice, but they usually give you a gazillion and millions of information, data that you don't need.
Right.
Got to zero in. So wouldn't it be wonderful, Roy, if I knew you were a golfer or not a golfer, where you played your golf, all your scores, what your handicap is, if you've written checks to Democrats, Republicans, Independents, whatever. I can find out all that, where you live, what kind of home you live in. You know, all these different things are taught through samrichter.com, the invisible web.
Mm.
And that's what's very important with the social media. Obviously, you have to be out there all the time.
Right.
You have to, of course, never put anything up there unless it can take the business to the front page the next day, which is what my father taught me, too. LinkedIn, you know, 80% of all the companies in the U.S. are using LinkedIn for hiring practices. So the networking, the information that you can get is beyond comprehension. Again, being from Minneapolis, we have Cray Research years ago, biggest computer in the world. Honeywell at one time, biggest computer in the world. Control Data, same thing. You couldn't get those computers in my living room.
That's
right. They were so huge. And here, 3 feet from me, as we talk, this very nanosecond, I have in my hand my iPhone. I have more power in my hand, okay, than all those computers combined.
Mm-hmm.
It's fabulous. Now, what the listener has to understand, though, you have to actually converge the old with the new.
Right.
Because I unequivocally believe, and no one can talk me out of this, nothing is really new out there as far as being successful. The principles and the concepts are exactly the same as they were 50 years and 100 years ago. But it's the way we receive our information. And
mm-hmm.
then knowledge does not become power until it's used. Ideas without action are worthless. See, you have to then take all that information. So the combination, again, of what's happened out there in the marketplace these last couple years, and you merge, okay, the new with the old and vice versa, now, believe me, you'll take yourself, your company, your life to the next level.
That's wonderful. Now, obviously, we just talked there about people who are unemployed, but what should someone do if they're stuck in a job that they just don't like, but they're afraid to throw themselves back into today's tough job market?
Well, it's easy to get stuck in a rut.
Without
question. And there's a lot of failure out there. And so what people, and they get dejected, they have to understand, you know, that a failure, Roy, does not have to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, I don't know a person, okay, that was born with persistence or born with determination. And when you get knocked down, you have to get up. Sure, it's easy for me to sit here and just say those cliches and all that. But the facts are, it's true. And one of the two of the ways that you do it is that you surround yourself, okay, with just a tiny little kitchen cabinet. What's a kitchen cabinet? Those are personal friends of yours that care about you. I've always said caring is contagious. Help spread it around. Why will they listen to you? Because you've been listening to them sometimes when they've been down and out.
Yep.
I'd love to say that even the Lone Ranger had Tonto.
Yep.
You can't do it all by yourself. And so to have that mentor, to have those people around you, that little kitchen cabinet, to bounce things off when things aren't going well. Our lives basically change in two ways.
Mm-hmm.
Books we read and the people we meet. That was said by a friend of mine, Charlie Tremendous Jones. Wow, is that ever true? So when you're down, I mean, it's really nice to hear some positive CDs, to read some motivational books, to study some successful people. And again, you don't have to be down permanently. So when you get in that rut, back to the basics, practice makes perfect. I think the most important thing in the KMB of selling in the real world, if I had to name just one chapter, either number one, number two, I would say, and it might be two number ones, would be, you know, practice makes perfect. That's not true. You have to add one word. Perfect practice makes
good.
Perfect.
Right.
And so, therefore, Roy, example, and these are the things you have to do when you're down, okay,
mm-hmm.
let alone when you're up. You have to do them all of the time. So let me just give you an example. let's say you're a golfer out there, and there's 20 million golfers out there. Let's say you're a golfer and you play 8 days a week. You practice 8 days a week. Guess what? If you've got a loop in your swing, what are you doing?
You're practicing that loop.
You're perfecting an error. You
yes.
put a ceiling on how good you can become. And so, therefore, what have I done all my life? I have coaches and
mm-hmm.
mentors. I mean, I've got a personal trainer. I've got a speech coach. I have a foreign language coach. I've studied Russian, Chinese, Japanese, and Arabic. I've got a writing coach. I've got an idea coach. I've run 10 marathons. Not being braggadocio, but my coach is right there during
yep.
the Boston Marathon, New York Marathons. I've got a golf coach. I've got a tennis coach. I'm just getting started. I've got dancing coach. That's thanks to my wife.
I'm sure Carol Ann appreciates that.
I've got a skiing coach. Again, and on and on and on. Now, why do I have all these coaches? And this has to do when you're down in the dumps and we're in a rut. Why do
yep.
I have all these coaches? You know, people say, yes, you've got some money. You can afford those coaches. No, wrong. I'm making an investment. I'm not spending a single penny. I'm making an investment over a lifetime, okay, with all these coaches, and it comes back 5, 10, 25, 50 times from my investment. So the bottom line of your entire question is as follows. Whatever my God-given talent is,
mm-hmm.
whatever my God-given potential is, guess what? I can't get any better. I focus. A goal is a dream with a deadline. I have a goal. I'm going to learn this, whether it's computer, you know, whether it's public speaking, doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to get the best coaching I can. I'm going to pay for that coaching sometimes, of course, through those instructors. And then guess what? I don't have to worry about anything. I can't do any better.
Yep.
That's the reason. That's the reason why if you're in a rut and you're practicing the right concepts, it's normal to get in a rut, but you will pull yourself out of that rut a heck of a lot quicker.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be taking a quick break soon here, Harvey, but I got one last question before we break off. You know, managers tell us in the Recognition Management Institute that they don't have time to give recognition. They don't know how to give praise or recognition properly, so they just don't do it. And meanwhile, 20% of employees are leaving places of employment because of a lack of appreciation. Now, I know you and I know that recognition giving is not that difficult, but what are some habits that you've developed to effectively recognize and appreciate the employees on a regular basis?
That's a fabulous, fabulous question. Ken Blanchard wrote The 1 Minute Manager, co-author of The 1 Minute
right.
Manager. I've traveled the whole world with him. He wrote my introduction to Swim with the Sharks without being eaten alive, but from the 1 Minute Manager, and I learned this, and I still practice it today. I'll be doing it this afternoon. We've got 550 employees here at McKay Envelope Company here in Minneapolis, but here's what Ken wrote. Go out, walk your plant or your office, and catch someone doing something right, and then in front of Mother, God, and country, praise him or her.
Right.
So I love to say the pat on the back is back. So I'm always looking for people out in our factory and offices, catch them doing something right. And then with my networking that I've built and my McKay 66 question customer profile, which we also apply to our employees. See, Roy, if you're reporting to me and I'm the printing manager I catch you doing something right, I not only am going to compliment you, and maybe in front of someone, all right, but then I know a little bit about you, and I might say, hey, how's John doing? You know, I see he graduated from high school last year or whatever. I'll know something personally. It's called humanize the workforce. Like we humanize our customers.
Yep.
We want to know 66 things about every customer we call on, which are 3,000 accounts around, again, North America, all right? We want to know everything about the employees that have a reporting relationship. So
yeah.
I know a lot, you know, about all of the people that come through our front door, and I'm able to humanize that experience, which is so important. And therefore, my antenna is up all of the time, okay?
Gotcha.
Also, my door is open.
Mm-hmm.
They can come in here, okay, anytime, if they're having some problems. I call that constant, immediate, unfiltered feedback from our people. Very, very important.
Well, I love that. And I think what's troubling for most managers is they're not making that time. They're not realizing that that is an investment in the business as well.
See, you mentioned, if we have another minute or two or second, virtually all studies known to mankind, and I cover this in the book, it's incredible how many people leave companies not because of money, not because of their salary. No, it strictly has to do human relations, building networks, people skills, again, humanizing that workforce. Those are the reasons why they leave in a high percentage of cases, not the money.
You betcha. Harvey, love your wisdom. We're going to take another quick break. Join us back in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we ask our guests today, Harvey McKay, author of the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World, some more about selling yourself in life. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Saunderson.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with my guest today, Harvey McKay, the author of the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. And it's been an exciting show today, Harvey, and I'm curious, you know, what do you recommend when someone meets someone new for the first time? What in that whole networking context and building relationships, what do you typically recommend?
Well, I have a specific philosophy, thanks to, again, to my father, Jack McKay, headed that Associated Press here in St. Paul or Minneapolis, where I'm calling from, for about 35 years. But he taught me when I was in college that when you meet someone, that hand goes out right to your brain bank, you should be saying to yourself, you know, let's say I'm meeting you, Roy, for the first time, you know, in a hotel, an airport, whatever. As soon as we're shaking hands, you know, right he or she, no matter who I meet, right to the brain bank, you say to yourself, what can I do for Roy? Now, here's what's key. Not only what can I do for Roy, but expect nothing in return. Underline, nothing in return. I call that in the book, okay, reciprocity without keeping score. I'm a lucky guy. My closest friend, we're joined at the hip. He's my brother, is Lou Holtz, former head coach Notre Dame and many other colleges. I personally hired him here and brought him the University of Minnesota for several years before he went on to Notre Dame. He's in the Hall of Fame with ESPN right now. But a remarkable person. If you were to meet him, any listener listening right now, were to accidentally bump into Lou Holtz and meet him, total stranger, when he says goodbye, he'll look you right in the eye. He's been doing it all his life. If I can ever help you, if I can ever do anything for you, you give me a call. But the difference is, he means it.
He means
the 10 most powerful words, however, okay, in the English language. If it is to be, it is up to me. You have to ignite your own passion and have them translate that passion to the other people that you're going to try to help. And over a lifetime, this is what I've been doing all my life, it's incredible. If you've lost your job out there with those high percentages that are going around, you know, the 14 million people in the States, unbelievable that if you just go volunteer, it's unbelievable. You know, find what you're passionate about, go volunteer, and all nonprofits have three problems in the country today. Number one, money. Number two, money. And number three, money. So now you're a volunteer, and you're going to help the people, and you're going to join, let's just say, United Way, one of my favorites again, all right? Guess what? You have to go out and ring doorbells, maybe. You have to make some phone calls. Mm-hmm. You have to go make some calls on some businesses, try to raise some money. So what are you doing when you're doing that? You're becoming a salesperson. You're becoming a better communicator. You know, why you're even unemployed, or if you're unemployed, you should be a volunteer all your life. Doesn't matter. Employed, unemployed. Volunteer. It's 25% of my life since I got out of the University of Minnesota. So I become a better salesperson, a better manager, a better leader, a better communicator. I gain more confidence. I gain more poise by raising this money for something I'm passionate about. But now here's the number one reason why you volunteer. You feel good about yourself. But that's the way that you meet people, new people, build the network. See how it all ties together?
Yep. Well, that's a wonderful insight, and I'm curious. I know you've talked about volunteering. I know you've also been a strong community activist, and you played a key role in preserving Major League Baseball in Minnesota. What inspires you to be so involved in your community?
Well, that came from my father. Graduated again from the University of Minnesota, kind of cocky. Wanted to start at the top and work up. Kind of thought I knew it all, and my father sat me down like it was yesterday at the kitchen table. He has been won all his acclaim for all kinds of different humanitarian awards. But he told me, again, here I'm 21 years old, that 25% of my life will be devoted to volunteerism. I mean, that was his counsel. And so ever since age 21 till today, I've been on, you know, 17, 18 boards and Salvation Army and again, United Way and our orchestra here and Junior Achievement, just go on and on and on. And so when you get started with those habits and you develop those good habits and you feel good about yourself, well, it came to Major League Baseball and the Twins were going to go to Minnesota Twins going to Tampa years ago. I was president of the Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce, and I volunteered for a one-year assignment to save the Minnesota Twins and the Vikings, who were going to move to Phoenix at the time. Well, it took 7 years, seven long, hard, you know, tough years as the chairman of that event. And they rewarded me by letting me throw out the first pitch. I won't tell you if it hit home plate or not. Okay. But so to your question, you know, why do I get involved? It doesn't matter. Whatever you're passionate about, I try to put back to my city, into my city, because I went to the University of Minnesota, and I just couldn't entertain to our customers, to our everybody that we're involved with, to all the listeners this very minute, volunteerism is one of the greatest secrets to a happy life. Just try it. You won't like it. You'll love it.
That's so true, Harvey. Now, I know you have a great respect and love for your sweetheart, Carol Ann, and I know in the book you speak about women in business. What advice and thoughts are you giving to them for our female listeners today?
Surely. Well, that's a seismic shift. Also, what's happened, I'll give you some stats. This is evolving over years, but some of the stats as of last year, last June, is as follows. These are U.S. figures, colleges. Adds 65%, let's take all the pharmacy graduates from our colleges last June. 65% are women.
Ooh.
Women in accounting, 32% of all the graduates are majoring in accounting. 41% are MBAers, have their MBA, women. 44% law school, women. 48% medical school, women. I think even Yale 2 years ago had more female graduates than male graduates, I recall reading. Women entrepreneurs multiplying 2, 3, 4 times faster than men. That's incredible. According to Carlson Wagenli, they're just 20 minutes from where I'm standing right this minute, 20 minutes away. They, the world's largest travel agency, they say that within 3 years, approximately, women business travelers will equal their male counterparts. Wow. And then I call this, Roy, man bites dog. Okay, man bites dog, and here it is. It's not a typo. Women business owners employ more people, more persons, than all of the Fortune 500 companies combined. And as of a few years ago, women business owners outnumber their male counterparts. So you see, some of these social paradigms have been shattered.
No kidding. No kidding. Well, you know, I'm sure for you, Harvey, that as with all that you've gone through, especially with the envelope business, that I'm sure it hasn't all been a bed of roses. And what would you say is the biggest mistake you've made in business? And what did you learn from that experience?
Biggest mistake. Have you got about 2 hours? I'll give you about 25 of them. Okay. Well, we've all made mistakes. I wrote a book, We Got Fired, and it's the best thing that ever happened to us. Interviewed 28 famous Americans who landed on their feet. And all of them, the common denominator first, and you just hit it, is that it's okay to make mistakes. No problem. But what all these people, these famous people learn, happen to be Lou Holtz, fired from Arkansas, Jesse the Body Ventura, fired from a radio station, governor of our state, Bloomberg, mayor of New York, fired from Goldman Sachs. The common denominator was to learn from those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the key to that whole book. And so now directly, again, back to your question. I was young, started at age 26. 4, 5, 6 years later, we had approximately a 10 to 12-week strike, and we did not have any – well, yes, I'm sorry, we had unions, and I happen to be a union believer too. There's no question you can get along with them, but sometimes disagreements come up, and what happens? Well, very simply, we had a big strike. Why were they able to strike me? The lesson that I learned? Well, I have to have all my eggs in one basket. And we didn't have any multiple plants. So after that strike, we now have a major plant in Iowa and another plant out on the West Coast. And so we have different facilities. So at least now, we can at least recover from a strike if there is one. I might add, we haven't had a strike in decades, 30, 35 years. So that's a nice plus.
Nice record, yeah.
We still have unions. We still get along fine. But that's one of the big-time lessons that I learned. Of course, not to have all your eggs in one basket. And I went out and did something about it by getting some other facilities.
Gotcha. And I think you're right. It's what we learn from those experiences that's the telling tale for how we're going to lead the rest of our lives. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like we're due for another short intermission, So please, to our listeners, come back for our final segment with my guest today, Harvey McKay, author of the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Sonneson reminding you to keep it real.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to continue our conversation today with Harvey McKay, our guest, and learn some final pointers on the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. You've written another book, Harvey, just released, and I'm sure it's destined to be a bestseller, called The McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. What motivated you to write this book at this particular time?
I think because of the seismic shift that has occurred out there in the marketplace. It's really, truly beyond comprehension. I won't use the word depression, but it certainly is a severe recession. You see,
right.
When bad times hit, when a recession hits, there's three things we have to ask ourselves. How long is it going to last? How deep is it going to go? How widespread is it going to be? It's going to hit the envelope business and all companies. And again, and unfortunately, this has gone deeper, lasting longer, more widespread than any of the economists could have predicted. So therefore, I believe that there's one way out of this mess. For countries that get into problems like this, for the U.S., our country, of course, my country, and that is as follows. You have to grow your way out of this doldrum. And it's the same thing individually, yourself. If you happen to be, again, not have a job, if all of a sudden your wages have been cut, if your commissions have been cut, a company, in order to have to survive, my company right here, McKay Mitchell Envelope Company, we have to grow our way out of the problem, and therefore every listener this very second, he or she, has to grow themselves out of this problem. How do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Do it by selling. I mean, can you believe that this afternoon I'm interviewing a salesperson, and our sales are, you know, are flat. We're doing well under the circumstances, but they're still flat, nothing like they were before 2008.
Right.
So, but and yet I'm out there looking for hungry fighters. I'm looking for salespeople. And everybody has to understand that everyone out there, every listener, is a salesperson.
So what are you looking for in that salesperson this afternoon?
I'm looking for three things. It's on page one, I think, of the book. You can't open the book without finding it. I think it's chapter one. You know, what makes a great salesperson? Three things. Number one, hungry fighter. Number two, hungry fighter. Number three, hungry fighter. That's what I'm looking for. Again, you're not born with persistence. You're not born with determination. And when I find someone that'll pick himself or herself up off the ground or the mat, failure does not have to be permanent under any set of circumstances. So that's what I'm looking for when I'm doing the interviewing. I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, probably 1,000 people over my lifetime. And when I see that fire in the belly, someone that wants to ignite their own passion, someone that's a self-starter, that person, okay, is going to love his or her job. Find something you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kinds of persons that I'm looking for. Now, having found that, obviously trust is so very important. Continuing education. Will they go back to school? Will they learn? What's their capacity? And on and on and on. There's a dozen traits that make a good salesperson. But without those first three, you don't have a chance.
No. Now, Harvey, I want to make sure that our listeners have ample opportunity to know how to find out more about all that you do and your wisdom. Where could our listeners find the best information and know and learn more about you?
Well, they could always hit harveymckay.com. I don't sell anything on my website. It's just a plethora of information, just a myriad of information, all free, gratis. And believe me, I have to probably repeat, our lives basically change in two ways. People we meet, the books we read, which would be the same thing, the websites, whatever we read. And so I think if they go, again, to my website, the books, of course, are available in all the bookstores in the United States, all over Canada. Wherever they go, they'll be able to find the McKay MBA of Selling again in the real world. They can call Amazon or contact Amazon, go to Amazon.com, all of CEO readers, wherever books are sold, they will find this book. And just a reminder, money-back guarantee on the last page if they don't think they got a return on their investment.
That's wonderful. And you know, Harvey, if you go to your site, I noticed that you can go to McKay MBA, that's MackayMBA.com, and you can actually get the first chapter of the book right there as well. So,
thank you.
That's certainly a great way just to get a taste for the book and the wisdom that you've brought to us even today. Harvey, you've had a great ride of life because of what you've made of it through your entrepreneurial wisdom. I'm curious, as a final kind of pointers, what kind of final piece of advice would you give our audience on selling yourself in life, if you will? What would you say to them?
Well, when you get up in the morning, you have two choices. You can be an optimist or you can be a pessimist. And I certainly prefer to be an optimist. And so every single day, I believe it's a gift. It really, truly is a gift. Maybe the bottom line would be, from my perspective, what I would want on my tombstone is, he couldn't sleep fast enough. I don't want to go to bed, Roy.
There's
too much excitement out there. I don't want to miss anything. And so to our listeners, again, can't do it all by yourself. If you happen to buy this book, again, and the McKayMBA.com, that's right, they can go right there. Thanks for reminding me. McKayMBA.com. I would only ask, I think, of the listeners one thing if they buy the book. Do not read the book. I repeat, do not read the book. Study it. Underline it. Highlight it. Use post-it notes. Then you'll have your MBA in the real world. And I'm not so self-serving as to say only my book. Any self-help book, you can't just read it. That's not good enough. Yeah, pick it up and do those things, and then 3 months and 6 months later, go back and read your underlinings, and then over and over and over and over again. I've read Think and Grow Rich 25 times. I've read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and influence people 50 times. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. Very few people have heard of that. I've read that maybe 100 times in my lifetime. So that's what I would say to our listeners today, and it's really been a thrill to be with you, Roy.
Well, it's been a joy to have you here as well, and to our listeners, we want to express our thanks and admiration for all you've contributed to society and for entrepreneurial thinking and just being a better networker. Those all the things that I remember you for.
Well, thank you again, and we'll be in touch.
You betcha. Well, to our listeners, tune in for our next show where Max and I will be continuing our discussion on how to build relationships, inspire greatness, and create a workplace where people can thrive. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions. You can email us at feedback@realrecognition.com, or you can contact myself, for example, on Twitter at Roy Saunderson. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about Recognition Management Institute, visit us at www.rideau.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. For more motivational tips to help your employees perform better, we'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.